is Jalen Rose. I'm David Jacoby. We are Jalen and Jacoby. What is it that we do, sir?
And we get a people. What they want.
We have an update on the future status of both Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady, but we start with something that's going to happen in just about 3 hours and 20 minutes, about a mile and a half that way from me. There are expectations that Anthony Davis will return to the court in Brooklyn against the Nets in a Lakers uniform. What does this mean for the Lakers season moving forward?
The Lakers need to hit their stride. They're below 500 right now. And you and I both know the lower they get in the Western Conference standings, that's going to put them in position to not advance in the playoffs. LeBron has been dominant. He's been terrific. Monk has been a revelation playing quality minutes. But ultimately, and Carmelo Anthony played well recently, but the key is going to be Anthony Davis. They're going to need him to not only drive it during the postseason, but they're going to need him to be a dominant performer in the regular season to help with their seeding. So I'm happy for him. I'm happy for them. Let's see if he can come back and be a force tonight.
If Anthony Davis can get back in shape, get his legs underneath him, get ready for that playoff run, we've seen what he can do in a healthy playoff run. The last time that he was healthy in the playoffs, it was the bubble, and he was absolutely dominant. And Jalen, it is because of this, because of what I've seen from him when healthy in the playoffs, is why I still believe in this Lakers team. I still believe in this Lakers team. I would probably only pick the Suns over them in the Western Conference in a seven-game series. Am I delusional because all the other experts are telling me that they might not even make the playoffs?
Well, you're delusional because you didn't include the Golden State Warriors. So I believe the Golden State Warriors and the Phoenix Suns have distinguished themselves as the best teams, definitely in the Western Conference and in the conversation for the best teams in basketball. The Lakers are not on their level. However, when you start to look deeper into the West, and you see teams like Memphis and Utah. Memphis still has to prove it in the playoffs, a young bunch. Utah also, they've had some unceremonious playoff runs the last couple of years. So I feel like the Lakers are in the conversation with those teams. And if the Lakers were playing those teams healthy in a seven-game series, like you, I would pick the Los Angeles Lakers on paper.
Well, I really hope that Westbrook, LeBron, and AD can all stay healthy and stay productive through this final stretch of the season. They get tuned up because I want to see the Lakers go deep in the playoffs. I didn't like it last year when we were like 10 days in the playoffs and the Lakers were already at home on vacation. So hopefully we can see that. But there is also some other drama brewing in Brooklyn, and it involves something that is not a new concept to those that watch and listen to Jalen and Jacoby. So we call it broken news.
To everyone else, it's breaking news. To Jalen and Jacoby listeners, it's broken news.
It was months ago, when we were talking about potential Ben Simmons trade, and I'm talking about, you know, Dame Lillard or Sabonis or CJ McCollum, and then you said, hold on, wait until James Harden's name gets into this. And at the time, I had to do some Googling and some research. I was like, how does that even happen? So now we have the Philadelphia Inquirer, shout out to Keith Pompey, with another sort of report that perhaps they could hold out a Simmons trade until the offseason with their eyes on bringing in a big fish named James Harden to the team. So Jalen, explain to the people how this would work if it were to work.
Broken news is the key. And this is why I love doing this show with you so very much. And I appreciate the audience that supported us for 10 years because we get the chance to drop gems and not force takes. Like I can be at the bottom of the ticker and give over my cell phone to the news desk and show them why I have certain information in the league. But I'd rather do it on this show. Like with this James Harden topic. And so let me untangle this for you, Jacoby. James Harden dogged it to get out of Houston. And the only reason why he did so is to win a championship. See KD joining the Warriors. See LeBron joining the Miami Heat. I believe that was literally just to try to get him a championship. But James Harden liked being that dude. And that dude is what got him to be one of the top 75 players of all time. So here's what I anticipate. You go to the Nets because you want to be a part of the big three. But yet, Kyrie Irving is a part-time player. This ain't necessarily what you signed up for. So if they go on to win the championship, we'll revisit this topic. But if and when they get bounced at some point, those friendships change when you're a part-time player by choice. And so for me, I feel like James would like to be the guy again. Daryl Morey, who was his president GM in Houston, now presides with the Sixers. He has an asset in Ben Simmons. James has a player option at the end of this year that I feel like he's gonna exercise. This opens up the door for the Philadelphia 76ers and the Nets to have a conversation. And let me just tell you this, Ben Simmons actually fits better with Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant. Let me say this again out loud for you. Ben Simmons actually fits better. You know why? He's gonna defend multiple positions. When you have Kyrie and you have James Harden, you know what you do? You lack defensively. Mm-hmm. And so he also gives them a playmaker that doesn't need to shoot. You know why? He's not a willing shooter. And I'm not saying that Ben Simmons is a quote-unquote better player than James Harden. I'm just saying if the Nets are able to acquire Ben Simmons for James Harden, if he decides to leave, that'd be a win-win for both sides. Broken news to J&J family, because I've been telling you guys this for months that it can potentially happen.
So in theory, James Harden could also work out some sort of sign and trade because he has that player option, but he could, you said exercise, but he might just leave that and say, you know what, I'm not going to play for you, Nets, but Nets, if you want to get something in return for me instead of me just walking on the open market, let's work something out with the 76ers and Ben Simmons. Now, we are a lot of moves on the chessboard away from this actually happening because I think that this Nets team could potentially go deep into the playoffs, potentially the finals, which could change his thinking. But it's always fun to see something that Jalen said 3 months ago now end up on ink and paper in an actual paper. Jalen, we speculated about the future of these star athletes a lot, as we just did with James Harden and Ben Simmons. But one thing that we've been doing forever is speculating about the future of the GOAT, Tom Brady. And here's what he said on his Let's Go podcast with Jim Gray about his decision this offseason. It's very interesting.
Well, I think the point is there's no really rush for me to figure out what's next. You know, I'll know when I know. My wife is my biggest supporter. It pains her to see me get hit out there. And, you know, she deserves what she needs from me as a husband. My kids deserve what they need from me as a dad. It's not always what I want. It's what we want as a family. And, you know, I'm going to spend a lot of time with them and, you know, figure out in the future what's next.
Interesting. He also said that if he didn't feel like he could play at a championship level, that he would leave and allow someone else that opportunity. Jalen, with all this information about family, playing at a championship level and watching them lose to the Rams the way they lost to the Rams, even though he said he would play until he was 50, do you think we've seen the last of Tom Brady on an NFL football
Let
field?
Let me untangle this. Let me paraphrase what I heard and let me basically tell you what the decision's gonna be. He coming back next year.
Okay,
That's what I heard. He coming back next year. Seven-time Super Bowl champion, five-time Super Bowl MVP. You know what he normally isn't at the end of a season? Humbled. And when the Bucks won it last year and they were returning all 22, he felt like they were in pole position to possibly repeat. But it's been very few franchises in the NFL that have been able to win back-to-back championships. So he goes to Tampa in his first year. They win it all. It's a honeymoon period. Tossing the trophy on the water and on the lake. And it's all beautiful, right? But now they get bounced. So now it's the overcoming the turbulence part and putting the roster back in position to where it can be a contender. So I think he enjoys and embraces that opportunity and that challenge. So therefore, I believe Tom Brady will be returning next year.
Well, I think that's great analysis from a former athlete, but I heard something else as well. I need to spend time with my family. My family's going to drive this decision. I'm going to spend a lot of time with them this offseason. All it takes is like 2 months of intense time with your family, and you're ready to go back to work. Trust me, after the quarantine, I was like, I don't even care. I'm leaving this house because I got to go. But in all honesty, the championship level part to me, too, he says, if I don't feel like I can perform at a championship level, well, I don't know. Something tells me that Tom Brady, a man who said he was going to play until he was 50, will wake up at some point this offseason and say, you know what? I can play at a championship level. Let's go after this one more time with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Now, I just want to ask you one question. There's no chance he plays for another team, right? It's the Bucs or nothing, right?
He's not going to able to do it. No, he's not going to another team. No.
You can't, he's not going to the Steelers or like the Saints or like the 49ers, his hometown team. There's no chance.
He's not losing the Kango kid. Hopefully this offseason, the coordinators for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are in real position to get jobs. And by the way, I'm going to say this every day. Is Eric Bieniemy got hired yet by a team?
No, he is not. Like, he's currently in the middle of a Super Bowl run with the Chiefs.
Like they're running plays that are like a video game. You know what I'm saying? Like they're on a hold. They just scored. They just did a 13-second drive, dog.
Jalen, it is time for News That Matters. Jalen, you're an amazing sports analyst, a pop culture commentator, social commentary, social justice leader. And one thing I know that you also are is you love versus battle matchups. And nothing gets you more excited than when some big names get involved. So it was when Dr. Dre, trying to hype up the Super Bowl performance, let's not sleep on that, posted a clip of Eminem with the caption, Eminem versus who? Well, guess what? Swizz Beatz, one of the capos of the Versus organization, responded, Busta, in all caps, let's go. Jalen, what do you think about a potential Busta Eminem's versus matchup?
Can it all be so simple with these two gentlemen spitting bars? This totally makes sense. They have the personal connection that's not gonna make it contentious. Mm-hmm. But yet they have the styles that could go on and 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 on. And so both of these guys doing a versus makes total sense. I'm with Swiss. Let's make this happen. And shout out to Dr. Dre. I'm looking forward to this Super Bowl performance.
Oh, yeah. I saw the Super Bowl halftime lineup. I was like, that's so much better than The Weeknd or Bruno Mars or whatever. I can't wait for that. But I will say about these two being matched up is recently they've been kind of matching up sort of like-minded, you know, acts or acts from the same city and things like that. And I can't think of two different styles that'll be so different. When I think of Eminem, I think of like sort of venomous, but also extremely well-crafted bars that he poured over again and again. And Busta's just all charisma and energy. And I would like to see how that would play out on stage. But if I'm Eminem, I might be holding out for a bigger opponent. I might be holding out for a bigger opponent, bigger than Busta. You know, at one time, Eminem was filling up 100,000 seat arenas. So we will see about that. Jalen, we talked about the future of Tom Brady, but much more open-ended, we'll say, is the future of that man right there, Aaron Rodgers. Well, his coach had something to say about him and the Packers. We'll tell you what that is right after this. You're watching Jalen and Jacoby. Coming to you live from the Seaport and brought to you by Chase, welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen, once your former quarterback Matthew Stafford was put on the Rams, you wanted nothing but good things to happen for him, and good things are happening for him as they are now hosting the NFC Championship this weekend in Los Angeles. Here is what Sean McVay said about the mentality of Matt Stafford.
But just watch his body language, you know, how juiced he is after he spiked the ball. You know, I mean, it was kind of Kobe-esque where he's ripping across his chest. And, I mean, he's a great competitor, Lindsey. I mean, he's got a great balance. You know, I think the quarterback position in general, you got to be able to strike that balance of being even-keeled, but having the appropriate, you know, authentic emotion when it's necessary. And he's got a great feel for that.
Jalen, what does it feel like seeing your former quarterback get celebrated like this?
Well, I just want to make sure that we acknowledge something that Sean McVay said that we didn't just play. To me, that was the most important sound. When he said it was Kobe Bryant-esque, that was laughable to me. So just make sure we're on the same page. With that being said, I am happy for Matthew Stafford. This is a terrific opportunity for him. I mean, anytime Jared Goff leads you to the Super Bowl and you feel like you need to upgrade that position and you bring in Matt Stafford, Von Miller, Odell Beckham Jr., You're trying to host the Super Bowl in your arena. And so I appreciate how Sean McVay and his team has gone for it and how Stafford has performed. But it's been a collective. It's been Cooper Kupp making plays. It's been Aaron Donald getting up the field. And so that's what it's going to take to get through this weekend against the 49ers. But I do believe Sean McVay and this Rams team are in pole position to represent the NFC.
Well, we'll have plenty of time to preview that game and discuss Matt Stafford at the quarterback position. But right now, fresh off a loss to the Niners at home, all eyes turned to Aaron Rodgers and his relationship with the Packers. Here's what Packers head coach Matt LaFleur said about that.
I sat down and talked to Aaron today for quite some time. You know, I think we're all a little numb to this situation right now. We're hopeful that he'll be back next year. I want to be respectful of his process, whatever he needs to go through to make the best decision for himself. And we would love for him to be a Packer and be a Packer until the day he decides to retire. There's no plan for a rebuild. When you get this close, obviously we won a lot of football games, and we know in order for there not to be that, he's got to be a part of this thing. So I don't think that's anybody's intention.
Jalen, I've been saying all along that I think Aaron Rodgers is going to stay. And now I'm going to say, if they sign Adams long-term, Aaron Rodgers stays. What do you think?
Well, I think this can't become Brett Favre. And there was a period of time in his Hall of Fame career where at the end of each year, the Packers had to wonder whether he was coming back or not. It's so very hard to plan your future when you don't know the destiny. You don't know the destiny of your starting franchise quarterback. So it's in Aaron Rodgers' actual best interest to decide sooner, so that now they can make the moves like you just described. You can try to re-sign Adams. You can make plans for the draft. You can try to figure out what you're going to do to take the next step as a franchise. 3-2-1. Don't be surprised if and when they change or fire their special teams coordinator or coach.
No, yeah.
Block kick, block punt, 10 men on the field at the final play. I think that's going to be a change that you see at the bottom of the ticker. But all in all, this is a great opportunity for the Packers and for Aaron Rodgers to try to see if they can now get over a hump based on the fact that they've been a really good team the last few years.
Yeah, I mean, when you read the tea leaves, a lot of Aaron Rodgers' problems has been sort of lack of influence on personnel and draft decisions that the franchise makes with sort of out his consult. And I feel like that will change. And in his exit interview after losing, he even mentioned the salary cap. There's a lot of people that decisions that still need to be made. And I feel like if they involve him enough, he will be the quarterback of the Packers next year. But Jalen, who will be the coach of the New Orleans Saints next year? You would assume Sean Payton, because it's always been Sean Payton. However, while he still has years left on his contract, the owner, Gail Benson, said that she hasn't gotten confirmation that it's going to be Sean Payton calling plays from the sideline for the New Orleans Saints. What does that tell you?
I got a secret for you, David. Just me and you talking.
Just us.
Me and you.
Just us. Ooh. No mics, no cameras.
So a couple of things. Jim Harbaugh, of course, is going to hold out to see, for example, what may happen with the Raiders. Sean Payton, I believe, is holding out to see what happens with the Cowboys.
Whoa. Tell me more.
And the thing about that is, we all know at some point, Mike McCarthy, like many coaches, was hired to be fired. And the Dallas Cowboys came up really short of expectations. And Jerry Jones didn't commit to Mike McCarthy, just like Sean Payton didn't commit to the Saints. So if there's going to be some movement, I believe it's going to be in the direction of Dallas and Sean Payton. Stay tuned.
Very interesting. You only get that kind of information here on Jalen and Jacoby. And Jalen, there is something happening today that needs our attention. I believe players like Clemens and Bonds and Sosa and Schilling should all be in the Hall of Fame, but will they get voted in this afternoon, evening? We'll let you know right after this. Doubleheader Wednesday night on ESPN. Come on, Knicks! They travel to Miami to take on the Heat. That's at 7:30. And then at 10, it is the Suns, number one team in the Western Conference, taking on the Utah Jazz in Utah. NBA Countdown before that at 7, where you will see my co-host in a suit with a haircut. Not on Jalen and Jacoby, though, but Mr. Rose. Today is the last day that some of the greatest baseball players of all time, Bonds, Clemens, Sosa, Schilling, can be voted into the Hall of Fame. I believe all of them should be in, should have been in years ago. What do you believe should happen, and what do you believe will happen?
So, as you know, I'm a huge baseball fan, and Barry Bonds is the greatest baseball player I've physically ever watched. Not only the way he played with a gold glove consistently, but the way he not only hit for average, but he hit for power. And whether that was with Pittsburgh or whether that was with the Giants, I've seen this man get walked with the bases loaded. That's how dominant Barry Bonds was as a player. But any player that you can prove cheated, I am not mad at keeping him out of the Hall of Fame. I am not mad at it at all. That's Bonds. That's
interesting,
Schilling,
because there's levels to it all. There's levels to cheated, and there's also levels to proof. And another thing is, Mr. Rose, there is Alex Rodriguez and Big Papi David Ortiz. This is their first year of eligibility. Alex Rodriguez was suspended for a year for PED violations. Do you think that this other generation will be voted in and treated differently than the Bonds Clemens?
Well, just like anything else, as time passes, people aren't as stringent about things that happened that were negative. But I do believe that at some point they will get in, but not today. See y'all tomorrow at 4 p.m.
We always say we give the people what they want. Part of that is doing podcast exclusive content for our podcast listeners. Now, Mr. Rose, you said anybody who's proven to be cheated should not be in the Hall of Fame. You're trying to tell me that Tom Brady, the GOAT, is not going to go to the Hall of Fame? Who allegedly was involved in a deflating scandal and a Spygate scandal?
I feel like Tom Brady and the Patriots cheated, got caught, and got punished, and we shouldn't forget that. I look at steroid use more strict. Okay. Because as a player, there's something to be said for your discipline, for your sacrifice, for your work ethic, to put yourself in position to be great. And if you cheated that process, to me, I personally don't respect you. And so based on that, I feel if you can prove certain players took steroids, they shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame. Now, Barry Bonds, to me, is an outlier, like I told you, greatest baseball player I've ever seen. And his Pittsburgh Pirate career could have landed him in the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
But we can't act like his hat size and his body type didn't grow and continue to grow and continue to grow as he was a member of the San Francisco Giants.
Well, a couple things. Number one, we'll say PEDs instead of steroids because there's a lot of banned substances and whatever. And number two is, I guess there's levels to proof and there's levels to cheating. Because if I bet if you ask Barry Bonds, he'd be like, I was never caught. You know, I'm sure if you ask him, he'd be like, I was never caught. Through all the Balco stuff, through all of everything, he'll be like, what are you talking about? No one ever proved that I use PEDs. But another thing is, Jalen, all of our bodies get a little bit bigger as we get older. You know what I mean? I was watching Kobe score 81 on you. You didn't look the same either. You know what I mean? So who knows if Barry Bonds just didn't put on some pounds over the years, you know?
Hey, dog, let me tell you something. Allegedly, was it Roger Clemens and his better half was receiving the packages and like...
What's allegedly?
I said allegedly.
Allegedly, yes. There was some involvement with his better half during his Texas years.
And so to me, like, that keeps you out of the Hall of Fame, fam.
Really?
Yeah, that keeps you out of the Hall of Fame. Like, doing that dirt keeps you out of the Hall of Fame to me.
I don't know.
You still, but here's the thing. So let's look back at this. You still get all of your stats. You still get all of your accolades. You still get to keep your MVPs and or your World Series rings and or pennants if you want it. And you get to keep all of your money that you made.
Okay. Counterpoint. During the 70s and 80s, there was like an influx of amphetamine use called greenies. Amphetamines, I mean, I guess something like an Adderall type of thing. It was basically like allegedly, and again, it's been reported that like the majority of the league was on this, doing this performance enhancing drug. Are we gonna keep the same energy with those players that again weren't proven, but were likely using performance enhancing drugs to enhance their performance?
I just think the PED use, as it happened with Sammy Sosa and Mark McGwire,
allegedly
that was different. It was different for the game. It was different. It took cheating to a different level. And that's when it had to be flagged. And so for me, the guys that again were proven to use steroids, I have no problem with them being kept out of the Hall of Fame. They get a chance to keep everything else, including their money.
I want them in the Hall of Fame. Put an asterisk on it, do whatever you gotta do. Put a plaque next to the plaque, you know what I mean? Or something, or like, you know, it's something. But I feel like, when you said it's the best baseball player you've ever seen with your eyes. And like, again, do I think that Barry Bonds was using performance enhancing drugs? 1,000%, I'd be shocked if he wasn't using performance enhancing drugs. But it still takes a lot of talent and skill to put the bat in the ball the way that he was doing it during that run in San Francisco. You know what I mean? It still takes a lot of skill for him to be able to do that. And during his pirate days, as you mentioned, his pirate days when he was stealing bases, remember he used to be like a base stealing threat? There are people of a certain age. If you're like 30, you're like, oh yeah, I remember Barry Bonds when I was a teen. He's a big slugger. Like, no, dog, he was like stealing 40 bases a year early in his career. Well, we'll see what happens. Because it's also interesting that you also have the A-Rod and the David Ortiz. David Ortiz was on the Mitchell Report, but he was never ever tested positive. He was never suspended. He was never disciplined by the league. What about someone in his case where there's been reports and rumors, but never an official discovery of performance-enhancing drug use?
I feel like if you could prove that they use PEDs, my two cents is they do not deserve. You forfeit. You lose the opportunity to be in the Hall of Fame. I really believe that.
I get that. If you were voting between Alex Rodriguez and David Ortiz, both of which have been various rumors and reports. However, Alex Rodriguez has been officially suspended for a year from baseball, and David Ortiz has never had any sort of suspension.
Let me give you a different example. My other favorite player, also a lefty like Barry Bonds, I'll name you two that I love. Tony Gwynn and Ken Griffey Jr. So those two guys performed on and off the field with integrity. And to me, represent what a Hall of Famer should be. And both of those guys, in particular Griffey, struggled to deal with injuries. And at both of their and at different points of both of their careers, people talked a lot about their weight. Mm-hmm. And so PEDs allow you to recover, which keeps the guys that you just mentioned allegedly more available to their teams. And it also fixes your body type. And so for those guys who I feel like didn't cheat the game, I don't look at the guys that cheated the game equal like I look at those guys. I just don't.
That's fair.
I don't.
That's fair. Jalen, we have some news. It's about the Lakers' trip to Miami. And a restaurant named Prime 112 is involved. Are you familiar with this restaurant, Prime 112?
I've been there once or twice in my life.
When I went there with my wife, they treated me like I was you. You know what I mean? There's like, where's Jalen? We were waiting for a table. All of a sudden, miraculously, this nice table opens up. No, they sent us like four desserts. It's just me and my wife were already full because we had a big meal.
Shout out to my guy, Miles. No doubt.
We're just having one scoop of each dessert. And I'm looking at, I'm like, I really appreciate the dessert, but this is really going to cost me at the tip. You know what I mean? This is probably going to cost me, it's probably going to cost me more than the four desserts would. Because, you know, I got to take care of them because your name is involved. The bartender was asking about you. I was like, oh, how many times has he been to this place? Did he play in Miami? I knew he played for most of the teams. But there's a report that Carmelo Anthony, after the loss to the Heat, went to Prime 112. I'm sure many NBA players don't even stop at the hotel. Just go straight from American Airlines to Prime 112. Now, here's the part I want to talk to you about. Allegedly, reportedly, I think it was on page 6, ordered him and his group, I can't put this on Carmelo himself, had a $10,500 bottle of wine. That is absolutely ludicrous to me. And I don't want to hear anyone say, like, oh, well, he's rich, so he can afford it. That just seems like bad value. That just seems like a bad decision. It seems like you can get a $500 bottle of wine and give $10,000 to charity. You know what I mean? Like, what is the point? Take us behind the curtain of rich people stuff. What is the point of a $10,500 bottle of wine?
How much does Louis XIII a bottle cost?
I don't know. I'll look it up, though, while you continue.
It's $150 a shot. So I want to say a bottle of Louis costs maybe 10 to 15K.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's if you look at, like, I'm looking up how much it cost at Costco, right? But that's going to be different than at a restaurant. You know what I mean?
And the reason...
at Costco, this is at Costco, dog. This is the Costco price. $6,500 at Costco. Oh, no. I got to look this up.
So that means it's double everywhere else.
Yeah, see what it costs at a restaurant in NYC. Probably even more than double.
And so I bring that up because that's a fine cognac, right? Fine dark liquor. And we've seen those dark liquors go for high prices.
Mm-hmm.
However, I'm with you on this. I'm not purposely spending $10,000 on one bottle.
No.
That's just the math. Period. I'm not spending $10,000 on one bottle. I'm not gonna be able to do it.
No chance.
But here's the other thing I want to say that I don't like, though. Let me tell you something I don't like. I don't like how this story is painting the picture that a multimillionaire athlete can go out to a restaurant and eat and drink whatever he want, regardless of the score of the game.
Well, what I don't like is who's giving this information to the press? Who's giving this information to the press?
That's the other thing.
I'm sure no one's sitting at the table, called page 6, someone that works at Prime 112. So keep that in mind next time you're in there.
Well, I won't be spending $10,000 on a bottle, so I'm not worried about it.
No. One thing Jalen Rose is, and a lot of rich people I know are, cheap. You know what I mean? Rich people understand the value of a dollar. Like, I was listening to someone talk about the luxury tax for the Clippers. They're like, well, Steve Ballmer's got it. You know what I mean? So it's just another $100 million. I'm like, Steve Ballmer doesn't spend $100 million like you spend four. You know what I mean? Like, $100 million is still $100 million.
No question. Like,
just because he's got $6 billion doesn't mean that he doesn't care about $100 million. Oh, that made me mad.
But the real story here is that the Lakers are below 500.
Not concerned. Not concerned at all.
Yeah, that's...
Zero concern.
There's no room for error when you're hovering around 500, family. That's all. Just no room for error. None.
Plenty of room for error. When you have Russell Westbrook, you've got to build in some room for error. You got to build it into your strategy. You know what I mean? When you got Westbrook, you got to build in a little room for error when it comes to your game plan, because that's kind of what comes with the territory. Jalen, another thing I want to talk to you about. Patrick Mahomes' fiance, Brittany Matthews, somewhat related to the Prime 112 story. I don't know if you've seen this video, right? But she's in the suite. You know, she got a suite like Conway the Machine has a suite. And at the end of the game, miraculous, emotional victory. You know, a touchdown in overtime to walk off win after being down with 13 seconds left. You get emotional. So what she did is she shook up a bottle of champagne, popped it, and sprayed it out the window of the suite on the fans below. I don't know how I feel about this, which is why it makes a perfect soft move or boss move. Spraying the Chiefs fans with champagne from the suite when you're Patrick Mahomes' fiance. Soft move or boss move?
Boss move.
I don't know.
Everything has context. And so in this context, it was celebratorial and everybody was involved in it. It was 3 hours. It was one of the greatest games we've seen. The last 2 minutes were the best 2 minutes I've probably ever seen, especially in a playoff game. And I believe that is a great culmination of the afternoon. I don't think anybody is upset that she did that. And so that's why I feel like it's a boss move. Now, it's a soft move to me when you're like in a club or in an enclosed environment, not a stadium or a dome, so to speak, and you're spraying your bottle of champagne on people you don't know.
That's a great point. It's a whole different thing when you're outside in the cold wearing jackets, celebrating a victory as a community, instead of like you celebrating your birthday and I'm at the next table over and wearing some nice clothes and now I got champagne all over myself and my nipples showing my shirt. You know what I mean? We don't need that. I do want to correct something I said yesterday on the show, because you know about Bart and Han have their show near where we tape ours, and I go say hi or whatever after we're done. And I was like, well, I would never squib kick when you've got the cheetah back there. And Bart was very passionate about the different ways you can squib kick. Regardless, you're going to take time off. I was like, well, what if they ladder it back to the cheetah? He's like, well, if they ladder it back to the cheetah, that means their blocking's going to be messed up, the timing's going to be messed up. And he was so passionate that, you know what? I kind of think that he might be right about this. Squib kick might have been the way to go. Now, obviously, mind my quarterback, it's easy to make these decisions when they're in the rearview mirror, but.
Hit the brakes. Let me tell you, first off, Bart's my brother, Detroit, stand up. And of course, he has his opinion, I have my opinion. Let me tell you why I feel like you don't want to take the chance to squib kick there. Because you're giving up so much real estate. Like, you can't knowingly kick the ball and know that he's about to get it on the 40. You see what I'm saying? Like, you at least have to look at yourself and be like, we kicked it to the end zone. They got a long way to go. You can't, and the other thing about a squib kick, they're hard to do. They're tough to do. And he squib kicked the ball and it go out of bounds, or it only go like 8 or 10 yards. It ain't gonna go that far.
It's gonna, they're pretty good at it. I mean, there's a time element to it too, where it's like, whatever's gonna happen is gonna take 7 or 8 seconds, which puts the Chiefs in a position. Let's say they get it at the 35, right? Which is like a likely outcome. But it takes 8 seconds. Then you're looking at 5 seconds. That's one play. You know what I mean? Maybe two plays. It puts them in a much more difficult position. But I just feel bad for Buffalo. Now that we've got another day from this loss, I just feel like, man, like that's a pivotal moment in the city's life. You know what I mean? In the franchises, like a franchise that's had so many near wins, snatching loss from the jaws of defeat, or however you say that.
Yup.
Man, that makes me sad. Yeah, I'm so sad.
That hurts.
I'm so sad for Bills Mafia.
Yeah, that hurts.
But you know what? I'm going to feel much better on Monday, because if we would have gone to Buffalo for a night game on Sunday, woof, on your birthday.
That was going to be fun, baby. That was going to be fun. No. Fun.
Man, we haven't celebrated your birthday enough, Jalen. I feel like we're not celebrating your birthday enough. On the show, off the show, all of that. Can we celebrate your birthday this weekend?
Absolutely.
You'll be in town?
I officially feel like it started around the day after MLK. It was a couple of things after MLK, so it started that Tuesday.
Okay, good. We need to celebrate your birthday.
Absolutely.
We need to celebrate your birthday. Jalen, a couple more things. We didn't talk about this because there was so much going on yesterday with football. Grayson Allen suspended for 1 day because of his collision, we'll call it. His incident with Alex Caruso. Caruso's out. Caruso hurt himself. He's out. That's implications on the Eastern Conference. Do you think that was a fair punishment? Do you think that was a dirty play?
I think it was a dirty play. It wasn't Grayson Allen's first dirty play. But I'm not going to, like, ostracize him because playing with the edge is why he's in the league. It's mm-hmm. why he was at Duke. And that same edge can make him a dislikable figure amongst fans and media and his peers. But that same edge is something he's going to need to learn to harness and turn that into being a productive player and trying to have a long career. It was a spur of the moment thing. I don't believe he woke up that morning based on the play like, I'm going to hurt Caruso. It happened. He could test the play. He got suspended. I think the suspension is warranted. And he deserves an opportunity to resume his career when the suspension is over.
Yeah, I mean, to me, there's a lot of, like, how close was this to being an actual basketball play? And when you see Jokic just run up on Morris and hit him in the back for no reason out of nowhere, like, that's not basketball. You know what I mean? Like, that's not basketball anymore. Like, now you're just being violent. But when I saw that, and I've seen it a million times, it was like, it was extra. It was a flagrant. But it wasn't like he was up there trying to hurt him or doing something that was outside of a normal basketball motion. I believe when he jumped in the air, he was like, I'm not going to let this dude shoot a layup. Maybe I'll block it. But I don't think he was like, let me grab him by the arm and pull him down so he lands on his head or his wrist and gets hurt. You know what I mean?
Agreed.
We always say we get the people what they want. Part of that is hearing from the people. 985-80-JALEN is the number. 985-80-JALEN is the number. And I got to say one thing. Brianna's not on the show anymore. Demetrius, we need to get the addresses of those people for the cardigans. You give me addresses, I'll get them cardigans. We selected two people. Brianna has the addresses. Let's get them their cardigans. Moving on from that, 985-80-JALEN. That's the number to call. If you call that number and you leave a voicemail, we will put on the show just like that.
What's going on? Chance calling back from Atlanta. Shout out to the boy Reg, wishing the best in all of your divas. What up, fellas? I got a couple things. All right, one, first thing. Jalen, bro, I've been rocking black socks since 92. I don't think I wore white socks with nothing. Only time I wear black socks is white socks. Is under my black socks. Next thing, how y'all feel about the man weave? Jason, I look like you, bro. But hey, I'm bald. You know, back in the day, I used to have the dolls up there. But how you feel about the man weave? Let me know. Keep catching the checks. Keep doing what y'all doing. I love y'all, man. This. I look forward to y'all carrying your podcast every day. Let me know.
I love our callers, Jalen Rose.
Me too.
How do you feel about the man weave? This is a question for you, not for me.
Thank you for the call. We appreciate the love and the support. Down since day one, we're forever grateful. A few things, and I saw this with one of my mentors, somebody that I idolize, James Brown. There are people talking a lot about his hair over this past weekend. And it reminded me of something. That only happens in two cases. With blacks and with men. Where people look at enhancements and judge you for them. If somebody looks in the mirror and they feel good about how they look and they want to do something to help modify that and they're happy with it, I have no problem with it. It's not something that I personally would do. Like if I started to lose my hair, I wouldn't do a man weave. But I'm not judging somebody who does. And again, this is only reserved for men. And let me tell you, the people who are commenting usually, people who don't have hair. Those are usually the people who are commenting are those who don't have hair. And I want to remind everybody something. Usually if you're under 50 and you don't have hair, that ain't by choice.
No. It's never by choice.
That ain't by choice. So I eliminate that 50% of the segment of the population's opinion right off. Because if you had hair, you would do what you needed to do to maintain or manage it or style it.
One thing, only if you're Onyx or the Fab Five is it by choice.
No doubt. So like right now, right? So right now, I'm literally got my hair twisted. Yesterday I had it up. If I didn't wear a hat today, it'd be people like, how did he have his hair up yesterday and have it twisted the other day? The same way you see a woman with a bun one day and then see her with her hair down the next day, or have it in a ponytail. It's real hair, which means I can do real things with it. You know what I'm saying?
Well, a couple things. Whatever makes you happy makes you happy. You know what I mean? Like, I think this goes for surgeries, any cosmetic surgery or any cosmetic enhancement, like whatever makes you happy in your own skin, do whatever makes you happy first and foremost. Secondly, I think that all of us, whether 0% or 100%, have a little bit of beauty dysmorphia or body dysmorphia.
Of course.
You know what I mean? Like, all of us have little things that bother us and that we wish we didn't have. I've got big poofy nipples. I always check out my nips in the mirror to make sure that my nips aren't popping too much. But like, I don't think when people see me or talk about me behind my back, they're like, oh, Jacoby, yeah, I know that guy. He's got big poofy nipples. That's just something that's on my mind. You know what
Correct.
I mean? Yep. And I feel that there's a lot, there's a whole industry that preys upon this. You know what I mean? And I feel like a lot of the time when people start creeping in the corners or men start losing their hair, they kind of fight it with the comb over and then keep fighting it and this and that. And somewhat, it's somewhat based in a level of body dysmorphia and insecurity that we all just need to sometimes come to terms with. A lot of times your friends can help. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
And that's just a long-winded way of saying, just please stop getting these Brazilian butt lifts, ladies. Can we just stop this? Can we stop this? Can we not do this anymore? You're not fooling anybody.
Not all right,
before I get fired, we gotta go to one more voicemail just to wash this topic off the program.
What up, Jay Rose? Tim Nitty. Quick question. Why was Matthew Stafford allowed to be traded from the Detroit Lions to pursue a Super Bowl ring, but Barry Sanders and Calvin Johnson never got that opportunity? Just want you to elaborate on that if you could, my man. Thank you.
Cook on him, Jay. Cook.
Here's the thing. Each scenario is different. Barry didn't like when they brought in Bobby Ross and they tried to give him a fullback. Calvin Johnson didn't like the fact that he had been there almost a decade and we didn't build a team around him that was gonna be great. Matthew Stafford isn't the level of player that either one of those guys are. You can't just let Barry Sanders go play somewhere else. You can't just let Calvin Johnson go play somewhere else. They're too dominant, it'll come back to bite you. So I'm happy for Matthew Stafford. I was sad to watch those guys retire. But either way, I love each of those guys, and big shout out to my Detroit Lions.
Big shout out to the Lions. Big shout out to all of our callers. Call 985-80-JALEN. Leave us a voicemail. We'll be back tomorrow with another dope pot of Step 2. Why is that, Jalen Anthony Rose?
Done. We're not done. We are not done. Got to give the people.